What's this? So I put a clock up here. That's a good trick. Hey, listen, I got bad news for you. If the choir keeps doing what they're doing, we might be here a long time on Sundays. Can we just give God praise, not only for the choir, but this praise band today? I mean, how awesome has it been today? And I do have to apologize because I like to sing when I'm in here. And so I got to apologize to the praise team up here because I'm loud enough that I'm probably getting them off tune sometimes. So, sometimes I'll get out ahead of myself. And so please don't let me mess you up. But I hope everyone will just join in worshiping the Lord together. Isn't it just awesome to be able to sing praises to Him? And I'm going to tell you this. And I didn't ask Mark and I didn't ask Bill this before, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So I hope this was okay. If I were you, I would do what I needed to do to either be a part of this praise band or a part of this choir. Because, man, what a powerful ministry they are a part of. You could come on Wednesday nights. I know the choir practices on Wednesday nights. We're having some great Wednesday night Bible studies. Right now we're learning about the prayer life of Jesus. So you come be a part of that on Wednesday nights. And then choir practice is right after that. And so, man, I tell you, it's great to see what God is doing here in our church. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, as you're turning there, this summer I was able to spend some time with one of my good friends that God brought into my life a couple years ago. His name's Antoine, and his son is probably the fastest kid that's 11 in the state of Tennessee. He's a track star, he really is. In fact, they come and run AAU track meets down here in Atlanta, and he's on his way to do something, but his dad, Antoine, has trained him in running. And so this summer, I took my son and we worked with him down at the track, working on running and how to develop speed. And boy, there's a lot that goes into all of that. And you've seen people running before. They take their mark and then the gun blast, and then those runners, they take off. And those runners, what you need to know is they have prepared themselves and they are giving their full effort as they are running. And if they, in these running events, I mean, if someone just has a misstep, I learned this. I mean, he said, look, it's just one little misstep, one little turn at all can be the difference between first and sixth place. And they have to be just so focused on what is before them. Well, today I want to talk to you about this, running victoriously the race of life. When you trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, or if you're here today and you're thinking about making the decision to follow Jesus, the moment you do that, you enter into a race. Now, it's not a race where you're competing with other people. You're not competing with your friends. You're not competing with other people that have trust in Christ. But you are in a race, the Bible says. It's a course that God has placed you on. It's an individualized course. It's a course that God has prepared for you, and He's called you to run that course, to run that race, and to do it faithfully. And so we're all on this course. We're all on this path, and we're running, and we're to be running for Jesus. But what we need to really think about is how can we run victoriously? How can we run in a way where we know we're honoring God and we're winning in this race of life, the Christian race? Well, that's today what I want us to understand and to learn is how we can run victoriously. How we can run as victors in this race that God has placed us on. And it's in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. And let's look at God's word together. God's word says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's been wonderful this morning as we've exalted Jesus with our praise. And Lord, we come to this moment in the service, and God, we're asking you to open up our eyes, our minds, and God, our hearts, that we would hear your word and you speak into our lives your truth. God, help us to understand today that you've called us to run this race victoriously, to run this course victoriously that you have placed us on. Lord, help us when we leave here this morning to know that our eyes must be fixed on Jesus as we run after him. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, you see in verse 1, it has this important word. It begins with the word therefore. You've probably heard it said before that whenever you see the word therefore, you got to ask yourself, what is it there for? It's there for a reason. And what it does is it points us to the context of the text. It points us to a call to action. And so the writer here of Hebrews is saying, based on everything that has been written up to this point, I am calling you to action. The Holy Spirit is calling you to action based off of these things. And in Hebrews, what he is doing is he's trying to help us to understand that we are to not fall back into an old way of life. We're to not fall away from the Lord, but we're to press on forward in our walk with God. We're to press on in maturity in Jesus Christ. We're not to fall back, but we're to press on. And when you think about running, that's what running is. Running is an agonizing thing. Running, you are pressing in and you're pressing on and you're leaning forward. When you see a runner, that's what they do. When you see a marathon runner, we have the Ironman comes to Chattanooga where I have been raised, and that Ironman marathon comes and they'll swim for all these miles. They'll bike for all these miles. Then they'll finish it all off with a marathon. And when those men and women, when they get to the finish line, I mean, it's just all they have to get across, but they just keep pressing forward. They're leaning forward. They're reaching out. That's the race that God has us on in the Christian life. It's a race to not fall back, to not give up, but it's to press on and to press forward as we're following the Lord Jesus. And then in chapter 11, it has the heroes of faith. And so leading up right to this, we have the Hall of Faith. And all of chapter 11 talks about all these men and women who were faithful and they pressed on. And it's these men and women that they ran the race victoriously. They hit the finish line and they are with the Lord God Almighty. And so he says, listen, therefore, based on all of these things, I want you to run victoriously. I want to share with you three ways that I believe we can run victoriously in this Christian race. Number one, you are to run with motivation. We should run with motivation. Verse 1 says, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. You see, it says there is a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. There's a large cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. There are those that have already run the race and they have finished. And they finished victoriously. Generations upon generations of people have come before us and they have run the race that God laid before them, and they pressed on and they were faithful and they did not give up. They did not fall back, but they ran victoriously. In chapter 11, it tells us about those men and women that we call the heroes of the faith, men like Abraham and Joseph. We have people like Noah, and on and on and on. Sarah, men and women. And then the list says that he couldn't even describe all the people who have run the race victoriously. And he's saying here in chapter 12, we can look to those people for encouragement in our life as we run the race. We can look to those people, and those people can help motivate us in running the race. God has not laid before you a course or a race that is impossible for you to run in. God has put you on a course. He has put you in a race that He is empowering you in to run victoriously in. Their faithfulness motivates us. Remember, we're not running against one another. We're running with one another. We're running on the same team. See, we're on Team Jesus. And we're running this race together. And I think about those that have come before us and how much they encourage me. There's two men that encourage me right here in this church that I often think about. I think about Reverend Battles, and I think about Dr. May. And I think about these two men who went before me and who have gone before us here in this church, and they've been faithful to the Lord. And you know, their life and their ministry motivates me as a pastor. And here's how it motivates me. I don't want to let them down. Did you know that? I think about those men, and I think about how God used them in a powerful way in this church, and God has called me to this place to pastor, and I think about what they have done, and I say, you know what? That motivates me. I don't want to let those guys down. They gave so much for you and for the Lord here at this church. I think about mentors in my life and family members in my life. Some of these men and women are still with me today. They're still alive. And I think about how they've run the race and how they continue to run the race and how they've been an example to me, how they've discipled me. And when I think about them, it motivates me. I think to myself, I don't want to let them down. I have mentors and family members who have gone on to be with the Lord. They have finished their race. They hit the finish line. They are in glory. They ran victoriously. They have helped encourage me in my life to say, you know what? I don't want to let them down. They've encouraged me. They motivate me. From generation to generation, there have been faithful Christians who have led the way for us, who have passed the baton from generation to generation. Do you realize that today? There's people that I don't know about from right here at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church who they've been gone for a long time. And they ran their race, and they ran it victoriously. The Lord said, it's time for you to come home. And He brought them home to heaven. And here's what He has done. The baton has been passed on to you and me. Think about those people that have gone before you. Think about those people who have led the way like that. And that from generation to generation to generation, and the baton has been passed on and on and on. And here's the thing. You and I are the ones holding the baton now. We're the ones who are in the race. We're the ones who are running. That should motivate us today to say, you know what? I'm not going to fall back. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to press on. I'm going to be motivated, and I'm going to run with endurance. Now is your time. Did you know that? God has us here for a reason. Now is your time. We not only need to run with motivation, but we need to run also with endurance. Look at it here in verse 1 again. It says that we have this large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. We are to run with endurance. The way we run with endurance is we lay aside those weights and hindrances that slow you down. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be the best basketball player that I could be. And I wanted to be fast, and I wanted to be able to jump and do all those things. And so for Christmas one year, I asked for a thing called strength shoes. Some of you are like, what is he talking? Maybe there's a few of you know what I'm talking about. Strength shoes. They're these big shoes, they're soles that you could put on your shoes, big things that put you up on your calves like this. And they probably weigh about a pound each. And you walked around all funny. And I would do my workouts in those. I'd run sprints up and down hills. I would do bounding up and down hills. I was so crazy that I sometimes would wear them to school and just walk around in school, you know, because I just wanted to do everything I could to get my legs as strong as possible so I could be the best. I would even sometimes take ankle weights. Anybody got any ankle weights? Don't raise your hand. All right, I see some. Hey, you know, I would sometimes even add ankle weights to that and put those weights around my ankle just to weigh me down so that I could, you know, have an advantage against other people. Because I knew when I took it all off that I'd been worked out. And all of a sudden when I took the weights off, man, I had more of a freedom. I was faster. I was quicker. It's a fad right now. I think a lot of people are getting these weighted vests. Once again, don't raise your hand, ladies. Okay? But people are getting these weighted vests, you know, and they're wearing those weighted vests and walking in them and doing their exercises in them. But here's what we know, right? Those things do something to us, don't they? They weigh us down. I mean, that's their purpose. They weigh us down. You're not going to go run a marathon in a weighted vest or in strength shoes or anything like that. No, when it's time to run, what are you going to do? You're going to take it all off. When it's time to compete, you're going to take that stuff off because you know it's going to slow you down. It's going to weigh you down. Well, here's what the scripture says. It says there are things in life that are a hindrance to you. There are things that are weights to you. And he says you need to cast those things off. You need to let go of those things. You need to get rid of those things, or you need to pare those things back because they're slowing you down from running the race victoriously that God has placed you on. Now, some of these things are not necessarily bad things. They're just not the best things. Some of the things in your life are necessary things. But if you're not careful, you'll make necessary things become bad things in your life because you may start idolizing those things. You may improperly prioritize those things and get them in the wrong place in your life. For instance, your career. Your career's not a bad thing. I mean, God's the one that gave you that job in the first place. But if you're not careful, you'll prioritize your career over everything else in your life. You'll make your career something that is more important to you than everything else. More important than your family. More important than your kids. More important than your church. More important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. I was talking with a friend recently. And he was just sharing with me so much about what's going on in his life. He has come to a place where he has prioritized his career so much that it's really hurting his life. He's working more than he should be working. It's taking him away from his family when he needs to be with his family. He's taking his family out of the church because they never have time to go to church anymore. Your career's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but if you're not careful, it can become a bad thing. It can become a hindrance to you from running the race that God has for you. You need to be careful that you don't let things weigh you down and slow you down, and if they are, you need to adjust those things. You need to cast those things off. Hobbies aren't a bad thing. We need to enjoy the things that God has given us. We need to enjoy life. But if you're not careful, those hobbies can become something that consumes you and takes you away from the best things and keeps you from running victoriously the Christian life that God has for you. Retirement, that's not a bad thing. Retirement's a good thing. If you're able to get to that point in life where you can retire, great. But if you're not careful, you think retirement means you're retired from everything. Can I tell you something? Here's what I believe. When you retire, all that means is now you got more time to run this race for Jesus. You don't retire from serving the Lord. You don't retire from the church. You might retire from some secular job. It just means God is giving you more time to do the most important thing that you can be doing in your life. And so we got to think about these things that weigh us down, and we got to know what they are and make sure we don't get distracted about them. Don't even get me started on Little League sports. And I'm just going to move on. But I'm telling you today, friends, I'm telling you, there are things that are good, but if we're not careful, they're going to slow us down in running the race that God has for us. And so there's those hindrances, but also, let's not miss it here, there's also those things that trip us up. There's those things that ensnare us. Sin, hear me, sin will make you stumble and fall in this race. Sin will ensnare you. Look at it in the verse. Look again. It says, lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. The sin that so easily ensnares us. We need to understand today, the devil is on a warpath in your life. He's on a warpath against the church of the living God. He wants to do everything he can to come against God Almighty. He knows he can't do anything to God. So you know who he's moved to? You and me. He wants to get to God through you and me, his children. And so he knows you're on this Christian race. And so here's what he's doing. He's doing everything he can on this race of life that you're in to ensnare you. He's setting traps. He's setting snares, and he wants you to slip up. He wants to tempt you and get you to give in to that temptation and to sin against Almighty God. He knows your weaknesses. He is the master tempter. Understand that about the devil. He knows how to tempt. He knows how to tempt you. And he may tempt you differently than he tempts me. But he's going out before us on this race, and he's setting up traps, hoping that you'll give in to that temptation. Because here's what he knows. When you give in to that temptation and you sin against God, he's tripped you up. You fall on your face. You're shackled to that sin. You're ensnared, and you can't run like you need to run. Really, you just get stuck. I'd submit to you, maybe you're here today and that's exactly where you are. You're just stuck. You say, I don't know why I'm not moving forward. I don't know why I can't pray. I don't know why I'm not so excited about what God could do in my life. And it's probably because there is sin in your life right now. You're ensnared to it. You're in bondage to it. You're chained to it. You have fallen into the trap of the devil. You've sinned against God. And there you are. You are just tripped up right here on this race. Sin will make you stumble and fall. And the only way to get out of that trap, to get out of those chains, is through confessing your sin to Jesus. Coming to him in repentance and saying, God, forgive me. Can I share some good news and some hope with you this morning? Because maybe you're in that spot today. And you're like, well, that's where I'm at, and I don't know what to do. Here's some good news. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's good news. Here's what that means. Whatever sin is in your life right now, Jesus is welcoming you to come to him, confess that sin to him. Confess it to him. Say, Jesus, I have been ensnared by this sin, and I've given in to that temptation. I confess this. And the Bible says this is a promise from God. He is faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you will bring it to him, he will forgive you. It's a promise from God himself. He will cleanse you of that thing. That means you will go from being in the trap to being released and back on the track and running so that you can run victoriously the race that God has placed you on. Did you know there's another thing about all this, and that is, did you know that you do not have to be tripped up? Did you know that today? Some, I think that when you're tempted, the only option for you is to give in to that temptation. That's not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with every temptation, he will provide the way out." He will provide a way of escape. Here's the thing. The devil's the tempter, but God knows what the devil's doing. God knows every temptation that the devil is putting out before you. And what that verse tells us, that as the devil is putting his traps out, the same place that the devil's putting his traps out, God is saying, "Hey, I've got a path for you to walk. Don't walk down that path. I've got a way for you to run. Don't run that way, because that way is the way that's going to trip you up." God is so good that every temptation the devil throws your way, he says, you do not have to give in to that temptation and sin. You can go the right way. God provides the way of escape. And so if you're going to run with endurance this race, you need to cast off those things that weigh you down, and you need to follow the path that Jesus lays before you, and do not give in to that temptation. And if you're here today and you're entrapped by sin, you need to confess that sin to God and be forgiven. The last thing I want you to notice today is that you need to run with your eyes on Jesus. Run with your eyes on Jesus. Verse 2, it says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. When it comes to running this race, your focus needs to be in one place. Your focus needs to be on Jesus. You know, where you focus is so, so important. Your destination is running towards Jesus. Your eyes must be fixed on where you are running, and where you are running is you're running to Jesus. You are following him. Jesus is who we must be focused on. I am so thankful for the heroes of faith. I'm so thankful for the generations of people who have come before us, who motivate us. But friends, our eyes are not on them. They are not actually our ultimate motivation. They encourage us, but they are not our actual example. We have one example, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the one who has shown us the way. He is the one that has provided the way. Above all, it is Jesus who we should desire to please. Jesus is, it says right here, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He is the front runner, and we are running after him. Remember that today, my friend. He's our example. He's the front runner. Have you ever ran before with a group of people? When you run with a group of people, you get somebody out there to set the pace, to set the lead. They're the lead man or the lead woman. They're a strong runner, and they run out in front, and everybody stays on that pace. They try to stay. They try to keep up, and that person just keeps plugging along. There's nobody in front of them. They just keep going. They keep leading the way, and you're just staying behind them. You're trying to keep up. You're doing the best you can. You're thinking, man, I hope they'll slow down a little bit, and they never do, and they just set that pace. Friend, you need to understand. Jesus is the front runner. He is our example. He has gone before us. He has shown us the way, and we are following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the perfecter of our faith. He's not only our example, but he is our Savior. He's our Savior. It says that for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the one who saves us. Jesus is the one who sustains us. Jesus is the one who keeps us. Jesus is the one who's going to receive us at the finish line. He is the author and perfecter, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Philippians 1:6 says that being confident of this thing, that he who has began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That thing that Jesus started in you, he started it because he's the author and he's the perfecter. He began it. He is going to sustain it. He's going to keep it. And he is going to finish it because he is the perfecter. We are running to Jesus. That's where we're running to. We're running to Jesus. So it would make sense that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Where should I look? Simple. You look to Jesus. We must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Don't look behind. Don't look in all these other places. You look up and you get your eyes on Jesus and you keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is at the finish line and he's waiting for you. He endured the cross. See, he came to this earth and he went to the cross. And there he gave his life and he shed his blood for you and me. There is no salvation without the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he came and he was humiliated and he was mocked and he was beaten and he was spat upon. A crown of thorns were busted upon his brow. And he willingly laid himself down upon the cross, and they put the spikes through his wrist and through his ankles, and they lifted him up on Calvary, and there he endured the cross. The full wrath of God was poured out upon him. He endured it all. It says he despised the shame. The shame of your sin, the shame of taking our sin upon himself, and the Father looking down and seeing the disgust of our sin upon his Son as he took it for you and me. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and there he bled and he died. He was put in a grave, but it says on the third day he rose victoriously. Hebrews puts it like this: he despising the shame, that he rose again and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He has won the victory. He has been risen. He has ascended to heaven. He went to the throne of God and he sits with his Father on his right hand because he has all authority, power, and glory. It says he did it all. Why? For the joy that was set before him. Boy, there's a lot we could unpack there, but there's one aspect of that I just want to close with. We know that there was the joy of him going to his Father. But I believe there's also a part of this joy is you are a part of that joy. You. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus die? Why did he endure the cross? He did it for you and me. He did it so he could rescue us, so he could save us, so we could be forgiven, so that he could put us on the race and we could run the Christian race and one day be with him in heaven. For the joy set before him, he did all of these things. I was thinking as I was studying this about an old song. And it might just encourage you as you take this with you today. But it goes like this: turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If we're going to run victoriously this race, we have to know Jesus. We got to have our eyes fixed on Him. I'm going to ask you to stand. Brother Richard's going to come. He's going to stand down front. And we're going to pray just here in a moment. After I pray, I just want you to know I'm slipping out because we're going to end with a baptism this morning. But Brother Richard's going to be down front right here. And today you may need to make a decision for Christ. You may need to come and say, I need to confess my sin and I need to repent and trust in Jesus. You can come today and tell Brother Richard and you can surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been seeing these people baptized. You say, I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And I want to tell the church I'm unashamed and I'm all in. You come and you tell Brother Richard, I'd like to be baptized one day soon. We'll work with you on that. Maybe you've been coming and you'd say, I know God wants me to be a part of the fellowship of this church. After we pray, you can come down forward and say, I'd like to join this church. The altar's open. You can come pray at the altar, however God leads you. Turn your eyes to Jesus today. Respond to Him. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness in our life. God, for sending Jesus to this earth to not only be our example, but to be our Savior. Lord, I pray right now that if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that they'll turn their eyes to You, Jesus, and be saved. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come as we sing.